I personally like religious, not religious, blah, 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 blah. That's crazy.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk to Tim's wife, Pat Wick. We talk about television, bones, numbers, house, and atheism.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am one of your hosts, Molly Glover. And as always, I am joined by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
That's me.
And my husband, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And we have a special treat because today our guest is Tim's wife, Pat Wick. How are you?
Hi.
I almost said Pat Glover.
No, I couldn't.
Patricia Wick.
Hey, thank you.
Welcome to the show, Patricia.
Yay! I get my wife on the podcast.
Yeah! It's a double date!
It's a double date!
Oh my God! So, Pat, you know, we've had a lot of conversations, obviously, with you, you know, off camera, so to speak.
Off camera,
and,
indeed.
About stuff, and I know that you and Tim are both, you're both very much into movies and TV. Like, that's one of the things that you guys do together, like movies and media in general.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like ingesting a lot of media there. And
yes.
That's the kind of nerds you guys are, I feel like. Like, predominantly, maybe you guys are movie...
TV.
I'm more of a movie nerd, and Pat is more of a TV nerd.
Awesome.
Yes, but we cross over.
Yes,
there is. So Pat will say, hey, there's this show I'm watching that you'd be interested in. And I'll be like, oh, okay.
Sure.
And I'll watch it, and I'll say, hey, there's this movie I streamed on Netflix. You might want to catch it. And she'll be like, oh, okay.
Da 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 da.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, that's cool. So, and you are an atheist.
Absolutely.
And an out atheist. And,
yes.
And you are raising your children atheists, but not raising them atheists. You know what I mean? You're not raising them in a church home.
You're not raising them religious.
Yes.
We're not
raising
them religious.
You raise them to do whatever they want.
Currently.
Pat was out as an atheist before me.
Oh, yes. Long.
Pat realized. Came to the conclusion that she was an atheist before I came to the conclusion that I was an atheist.
Excellent.
And I must say, for several years, there was some conversations where I was trying to convince him of the wrongness of his not
sure
willing to accept.
Trying to debrief? Deprogram?
No. More just like, well, what about this? You know, a lot of the religion... You know, first you strip away all of the man-made religion.
Sure.
The Bible and all of its...
The dogma.
Yeah, the dogma. But the Bible and all of its craziness. You know, God really loves you, or he's going to punish you forever and ever and ever.
Right.
And that, to be fair, was stripped before.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
of course.
We got together.
But
yeah.
Then it's the theism, or deism, I should say.
Well, and you've talked before about, like, the last few things to go were, like, these hard little kernels that were just things that you had believed since you could remember.
Sure.
So it's, that makes sense.
Well, and things like... I mean, New Agey was kind of the last thing, and,
mm-hmm.
and things like I read tarot cards and did all sorts of stuff like that, and
sure,
and you know, tried to come up with scientific, with air quotes, scientific explanations for why they quote worked,
yes.
unquote,
yes,
it,
you know,
it sounds more hopeful than like strength of belief,
yeah.
Yeah.
It really was,
yeah, and I will say that I do not remember a time where I believed in God,
then yeah,
even I mean my family did go to church, and it was actually kind of funny because my mom kept going to this particular church for years after everyone else quit and was involved in everything.
Mm-hmm.
There with the you know, what do they call it, the altar guild, you
yeah,
know, getting the stuff
yeah.
ready and everything. And when I finally came forward and said, hey, I'm going to get married, and we're going to get married in Tim's mom's church, she stopped and she just got so exasperated. She's like, the reason I stayed there is because then you could get in and get married in this beautiful church.
Not that she told anybody that.
Right, right.
No, but it was the whole... Well, of course, women traditionally get married
in their church.
In their church, not their future husband's church. And it was a really beautiful church.
Sure.
It was a lot nicer than my old church, which is where we got married.
I wasn't aware of that
shithole.
Well, it was a, yeah.
I know, I'm just...
It's a very Western...
Yeah.
Like a send-off?
It's
like you're part of you're his problem now.
kind of, because it traditionally it would be that your church would be your pretty much your entire community. So if you're being married to a man, you're now his property, and so therefore your community is kind of seeing over the send off and giving their blessing.
And you're going to go to his congregation. He's not coming to yours. This is your last hurrah with the congregation that you grew up with, maybe.
Right, but for the most part, it was also one of my real big geeks is I love history, mm-hmm. but it was a very thing that for people to be together, you'd also usually be at the same church, but if it wasn't, where it was more of an arranged marriage or mm-hmm. something, then it was just one of those things where, you know, like the dowry goes one way,
yep.
it was always at her church, because that's also because the family of the bride paid for it.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it was all about the church.
And they chose.
And
yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
sent you off with your goats and sheep. Off
yeah.
And,
yes. Man, I didn't get any goats.
That's because he didn't deal very well.
Man.
Yeah.
You didn't barter or anything. We could have had goats.
I got pogs.
Yeah, pogs.
Yep.
Goat pogs.
Stupid. No, they're not, are they?
No.
Damn it.
So
Power Rangers.
Yes,
as well, for cool. the... You were saying that we were raising atheist children. It's like, well, more or less... No, we have one child that has come to the conclusion that he's atheist all by his lonesome. Mm-hmm. And the 8-year-old who currently still believes in God, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy,
sure.
that whole thing. And as a matter of fact, he told me that he no longer believes in Jesus.
Mm.
Because he thought that through, and the whole Jesus thing did not set well with him. But, you know, we're working on things.
He's a deist.
Well, and I didn't mean to say you were raising them atheist in that you were telling them that there is no God.
You're raising them secular,
yeah. is more of what I think what I'm getting at.
We're trying to raise them skeptical.
There you go. You're raising them to believe what they believe as opposed to programming them with a book.
Yeah, and to think.
Yes.
To use their mm-hmm. beautiful big brains to think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, okay, because I love TV, too. And, like, that's and Nick and I would say we're definitely more TV than movies. But we like everything. But one of the things I love about TV specifically is because it goes so much longer. I mean, even a movie that has many installments, it doesn't go nearly as long as, like, a long-running TV show. So you don't get
Absolutely.
As much exposure
with
the characters. Yeah, so I think there's, like, it seems to me like there's more room for, like, atheist characters and things like that in TV. Would you feel like does that seem like your experience that you've seen a lot of atheist characters in TV?
Yes, and since I'm also a geek
mm-hmm.
and kind of a nerd, it's also really popular in science fiction and fantasy.
Ah, sure.
Sure.
And one thing that I liked as a kid is I grew up on Star Trek. My dad... Mm-hmm. watch Star Trek every time it was on. It was on at 10 and 11 o'clock in the morning, both Saturday and Sunday. Watched it all the time. Mom
nice.
Would go off to church, and after I was freed from having to go to the place that, again, I never believed
in. No, I'm with you on that. I know how you
feel. Never.
I
tried
mean.
Fitting in and
yeah.
such. But
you try to go through the believing motions, and it just didn't stick.
Yeah. So, but, you know, Gene Roddenberry was an open atheist.
Yeah.
And
at a time when that was almost, I mean... That was pretty rare.
Yes.
I mean, in the 60s, it was pretty rare to be a public atheist.
Yeah.
But the concept that in the future, we'd be past all this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And that just resonated.
Yeah,
and
there's
then,
no religion in Star Trek, really.
You know, the alien races have
the
some.
The alien races have them, but the humans don't.
The alien and the alien races' religions are viewed as being kind of like...
Quaint?
Like, yeah, or like... Oh, like, really? Oh, that's your religious leader? That thing is your god? Like, I mean, it's, yeah.
Vulcans
like,
are, I mean,
DS9 has, you know.
The Bajorans,
and there's all this religious iconography around the Bajorans.
Well, it's Roger Moore. I mean, Ron Moore.
But the interesting thing about it is when you get to the point where you understand, there's a scientific explanation for their religion.
Yeah.
Their gods exist, but their gods aren't gods. They're simply like
other dimensional
sure. beings that exist,
they exist
out
in
of
warp
time.
Space or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
yeah,
you know. So it's if there's going to be some sort of supernatural thing, it always comes back to
mm-hmm.
a scientific
sure.
explanation.
Even Q, who is essentially omnipotent.
Yeah.
Q is an alien. He's not a god. He's just godlike.
Would you say that you're more drawn to it, or you tend to like it more if there's an atheist character, if there's themes of religion and atheism? in a show?
I would actually say it's not a positive, but the opposite is a negative. That shows that deal with religion just rub me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Unless it's a fantasy show where, like, you know, a...
Fantasy religion.
Well, like Dungeons and Dragons, right, where, like, the magic and those things work. Well, yeah, that, I think, is perfectly fine because it's a made-up universe.
Right.
Where, right, you know, dragons exist. Gandalf does magic. Right. And that's fine. I like that.
It's... They establish it in the premise and the setting, and it's part of the suspension of disbelief. You accept magic exists in this fictional world. There are gods. Okay. Accepted. Yeah. Move forward.
Like, it's a time travel story.
Yeah.
If you follow the rules, you make it up, you go for it.
Exactly.
And everyone just... Or, you know, Superman. He's from another planet, and for some reason, the starlight makes him different. You accept it and go forward, or you don't watch it.
Yeah.
Right.
And it works.
It's different than a character who's a police detective who preys on all of her decisions.
Because religion's real.
Yeah.
It's not,
And I must...
You reject that concept, that is real, so...
Yes, and I do watch a lot of police procedurals and medical dramas. Mm. I really like dramas in general.
I like those too.
And so things like Bones or House, Criminal Minds, Numbers, all have really strong, powerful atheist characters that are either atheist in the very out that they're atheist, or they're atheist just because they reject nonsense, but they don't say, you know, they don't go that last step to say I'm atheist.
Yeah.
They say, you know, I only take what's real.
Sheldon Cooper, I think, is a good example of that. I don't know if he ever said he's an atheist, but clearly based on his other behaviors, he doesn't really go for the religion.
Right.
For sure.
He was raised religious, and he talks about how that he considers that to be...
Nonsense.
Nonsense. Like, a whole lot of Jesus hoopla and stuff like that. Yep. Like, yeah.
For sure.
Well, especially... if we're going to keep with that one with Sheldon Cooper, he's constantly talking about the hypocrisy of this crazy Texas version of Christianity, where there's this constant, well, there's this or there's this, depending on what month of the year it is, kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm talking about characters also that are out, like Temperance Brennan in Bones, David Krumholtz's character in Numbers, House from House, where they are very out, and they see...
Charlie is Numbers, right?
Charlie Epps.
Charlie Epps.
Okay. Charlie Epps from Numbers. They flat out are like, no, this is ridiculous. We are smart, and unless you can come up with, you know, extraordinary evidence for this extraordinary claim, get rid of it all.
Have you seen The Mentalist?
No, I have not.
Oh, Patrick Jane.
It's a mentalist, former con man. He used to do cold readings and stuff professionally.
He's got Sherlock-like abilities of reading micro-expressions and noticing observing behaviors.
Similar to psych?
Very similar to psych. More serious than psych.
Okay. Yeah, it's the serious version of psych. Yep.
I like psych.
And so he confronts a serial killer on over like a talk show, saying, you know, he can help him with his powers.
He's pretending to be a psychic at this point.
Yep.
He's been making a lot of money as a psychic.
Okay. He's wealthy. And he's kind of a Darren Brown type figure, if you know Darren Brown. And so the serial killer kills his wife.
And child.
And so he is revealed as a charlatan because he wasn't able to save them.
Of course.
And so now he is a police consultant. Using his abilities to help them solve crimes and ostensibly to use the police to get revenge on the serial killer that killed his wife.
To find the serial killer.
It has an overarching plot. He's a charming fucking bastard. and very clearly atheist, very outspoken about it.
Yeah.
One thing Pat and I have talked about in conjunction, I actually did a panel on this in Convergence a couple years back because it pisses me off so much, is, yes, there are these out atheist characters and I love them, but almost every single one of these shows, when they have an out atheist character, they have to balance it with a character of faith.
Yeah.
Scully and Mulder.
Scully and Mulder is a weird situation because they are like a very yin and yang in that Mulder believes in everything but God and Scully believes in nothing but God.
Yeah,
like it's
she's
in that
the more
sense.
She's more of the skeptic.
She's
than
more
he
skeptic,
is,
except that she believes in God.
Except for God, right?
Who opposes? Is there opposition to Temperance?
Oh,
in Bones?
Yeah, the other main character.
Oh yes, are you not familiar?
I've never watched it.
Oh, the main
Angel.
Character.
David Boreanaz is the FBI guy who is an open Catholic.
Oh,
the character is an open Catholic.
Okay, sure.
And what bugs me is that there are always these conversations where, you know, Brennan will say something about not believing in anything, in God, and how there's no logical explanation for it. And God, what's the name of the character? Fuck, I've watched almost the entire
guy. Celia Booth?
Yeah, Booth will say to her, you know, well, what about this? Or look at how this thing happened in this episode. You know, what? Where do you come up with the explanation for that? And the inevitable response, and I mean, this pisses me off about the writing, because what happens is Brennan always gets this look in her face like, huh, you've given me something to think about. And it's like, no, he hasn't given her anything to think about. It's a bullshit argument, but because there is a bias even in the writing for these shows.
They have to have some doubt.
They have to make that have to let that religious character score a point.
Because it has to be like, well, it's lip service, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fan service to the people who are really just watching, who are going to be like, well, I mean, they aren't just going to let that person be an atheist and not have a little bit of a talking to.
Unless the person who's an atheist is a complete ass like House.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Sure.
So is there no religious opposition to House on there? Can you think of any character that...
Doesn't have to be. He's his own opposition. He's an asshole.
Well, sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't watch that one either, so...
They really don't. You were talking about some other shows. Like, yes, if there's shows that have religion... I was just thinking one. It's what's called Saving Grace.
I remember.
Oh, yeah. Tim came home as I was... I watch a lot of these on Netflix... On my iPad.
Yeah.
And I came home, he came home after the end of this, and I was just kind of ranting.
Yeah.
And he's like, good, you're here. I can rant at you, not because I'm mad at you, just because somebody should hear how stupid this is.
And, oh my God.
But oddly enough, there are other shows where I will watch where they may not be very good shows, but if it's, you know, good acting and good script writing, I will watch if there is some sort of mysticism in there, if it's created so that it's real.
Sure, like Fringe. I don't know if you've watched Fringe, but in Fringe they'll say, like, we have to accept the fact that there's shit going on that we cannot explain.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, I accept that.
There's a lot of pseudoscience.
Yeah, there's a lot of pseudoscience, but it's like, I have, like, because, you know, the main old, you know, scientist is always like, well, you know, we did an experiment once where we gave a patient LSD, and then I put electrodes here and here, and we read the waves, and it's all, you know, it's pseudoscience,
it's all
but
bullshit.
At least they're trying to make it sound
they're
like
not,
science.
They're never saying, it's God magic. They're saying it's this weird science that isn't real, but forget about that for the sake of entertainment.
Yeah,
right. But again, if you set up a character or a TV show where, say, you know, other people may believe in God, but this one character may be may have visions of something.
Sure.
And they show the visions happening. That doesn't bother me because in that fictional universe, visions happen.
Like talking to ghosts. Is that something that gets on your nerves? Like
me? Usually ghosts bother me because I just find the concept of ghosts just so beyond the pale.
Yeah.
And they're also written so badly.
Yeah.
And usually always. When you get into these police procedurals, there will always be a psychic episode.
Mm-hmm.
Where a psychic shows
up. The Halloween episode. That was on my things of to mention. The Halloween episodes, which I almost have to skip in every show.
Yeah.
Because the Halloween episodes are the spooky episodes.
So the Superman, but like in Numbers.
Numbers, yes.
David Krumholtz's character is clearly an atheist. He's clearly a non-believer. And there's this
psychic, outspoken about it?
Outspoken, loud about it, yes.
There's this character that shows up, and he's a psychic. And he leads them to a victim.
Okay.
And the entire time...
That he killed, probably. Says,
No, he didn't. He's an actual fucking psychic.
Aww. Well, he's seen two episodes. The first episode leads you to have doubts. It's the, is he or isn't he?
Sure.
Because some of the stuff he was saying is like, well, it's near water. Well, of course...
They always say that.
Right. Yeah. But then, of course, they find the person, and there's this wall. It's in a survival bunker, and there's this wall of water jugs.
Mm.
And, of course, he draws some things, and the bodies are near the tree that looks just like the drawing of the tree. So the first episode of that is like, I don't know, maybe not.
And the dude didn't have anything to do with the crime.
He had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Huh. So...
But the next episode, they had him back like one, two seasons later, again, for the spooky Halloween episode, which just bothered me. Oh my God, you
just bothers you.
Oh, they really do. I mean, I have to, like, consciously go, I'm watching the Halloween episode, and do I want to watch it just to be a completist? Because I'm enough of a nerd that I want to be a completist.
That's how I feel about Christmas episodes, because it's always a little bit of Jesus and a lot of, like, the spirit of Christmas.
Yeah, it's always there.
Do you, my favorite spirit of Christmas was Community, which Community has three atheist characters in the main cast.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Community?
Yes.
At all? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Joel McHale's character is an atheist, but he's like an angry asshole atheist. Like, yes. He's got the ego thing going. And then, Abed,
who's
Asperger's and pop culture super junkie. And then Britta, who's like new age hippie atheist. But all three have identified as atheist in the show. True. And in their group is Annie's Jewish, Shirley's super Christian, and Pierce belongs to a cult.
Yeah,
like a pyramid head wearing like Hare Krishna spinoff cult, and three atheists, which is unusual.
But they're also played off as. Everybody is made up as a joke and all.
It's a trope
of that.
For sure.
So when they brought the psychic back,
there was no doubt as to whether or not he was a psychic or not.
Of course.
The Krumholz character is still like, no, he's not really a psychic. And so he looks like a dick. He just looks like an asshole because he can't see the evidence of this right in front of him.
But that's what I would say. I'd be like, well, I don't know what it is, but he's not psychic. And they'd be like, well, how do you explain all this? Like, I can't explain it. I don't know. That's amazing that you were able to think of that. If you ever do it again or whatever, I mean, like, whatever. I don't know what you're doing or how this is working, but it's not psychic. Like, I would feel the same way.
The first episode, they even go through this proof thing where the guy, the psychic, is doing this, and it looks like he's passing this test with the cards and such.
Oh, yeah.
He proved how... And then the Charlie Epps character proved that he was cheating.
How he can do it.
Sure.
And so, but there was still that, we'll buy the water, we'll wait, there's that wall of water, and then the tree that looked just like the tree and the thing. But there was still that, well, what if, what wasn't? But then when they brought him back, it was really specific drawings, and he was following his visions, and then he ended up getting killed by the bad guy. So there was no way even of having any more conversation about it.
Yeah.
But it was still, they brought the psychic back and proved it, but it was still supposed to be this universe.
It's too bad, because I would have said they should do an episode where he wins the James Randi challenge, and has millions of dollars now at his disposal. Yeah.
And a Vegas show.
Yeah,
And then he takes that millions of dollars and goes into the stock market and becomes ultra rich.
Yeah, ultra mega rich.
He's fucking psychic.
I assume this guy was super rich. I mean, that's the only
thing. He's
a psychic.
No.
Yeah. Oh, he only uses psychic
for good.
He's a murder psychic. He can only be psychic about murder.
Or kidnappings or whatnot, but he doesn't take payment or not much because, you know.
He just wants an endorsement for his book.
Yes. Yeah.
In an episode of Mentalist, he meets a person who does what he did, a woman who does cold readings and stuff, who is convinced that she is a psychic.
Yeah.
And he is convinced that she is doing what he does, but on a more instinctual level, and just isn't...
Self-aware
of the fact that she's reading micro-expressions and stuff. And the reverse of that is, she is convinced that he has some sort of supernatural gift that he's chalking up to a scientific explanation.
Oh,
so they both think the other one is lying to themselves about what they do, and they're both doing the same, having the same abilities.
One of the things I love about Patrick Jane and The Mentalist is... he'll, like, someone will say, like, because they'll say, like, oh, you're the psychic, and he'll be like, well, not a psychic, but okay, and it's not, don't worry, they're not real, you know, and things like that. It's very, and very much, and sometimes someone, but he realizes he's a mentalist, he's a hypnotist, so he'll be talking to someone, interviewing them, and they're obviously super distraught about it. And he knows almost right away if someone's guilty or not, every episode, and one of the things he says is, he'll, like, because he's rude and abrupt, and they'll bring him in, and while the lady cop or whatever is like, so, you know, what was going on with her? And all of a sudden, Patrick will just be like, hey, did you kill your wife? And the guy, a lot of times they'll be like, how can you ask me that? How dare you? And he's like, well, you know, well, your first answer wasn't no. So, because if you are innocent and someone says, did you kill your first thing people, an innocent person says is no. Like, and if the first thing you say is, how dare you? or what, who do you think you are, or something like that, it means you probably know more than you're saying.
It's more suspicious.
So it's all this psychology, but whenever someone will say, like, how did you know that? He's like, well, it's I'm not a psychic. It's just, I just pay attention, you know, I like that. I like that a lot.
And I know we got to get to the five questions soon, but the one other thing that kind of bugs me about these characters, and Pat and I have talked about this, and we could do an entire episode about this, is the characters that are atheists almost always tend to be these socially awkward characters.
Well, of course. Yeah.
And atheism is presented as a part of their social awkwardness.
That's true.
Yes.
I would say I don't know a lot of super popular, glib, not socially awkward atheists, but I don't know a lot of popular, glib, not socially awkward people, so I don't think my stance is... As I was saying that, my mind is like, who do you know that's popular? who exactly do you think you're drawing this sample of?
Bones is a great example of a character that is like, she is very awkward, very kind of Asperger's.
I was going to say, I've heard that she is.
And that awkwardness is reflected. Her atheism is used as a way to show that she is awkward.
She's a cold fish, is what I've heard. She's not. That's why it's such a. The whole thing is that she's. That's why she does what she does in forensics, is because she doesn't care about dead people and she doesn't.
Her atheism is part of what keeps her apart from everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing.
Same with Sheldon in Big Bang Theory.
Well,
he's kind of among his own. I mean, man, there's no one like Sheldon, but...
Well, if you think about it, it's
fellow nerds.
Similar to gay characters 20 years ago, where if there was a gay character, for God's sake, they had to say he was gay every episode, and every time he had anything about himself, it had to be about how he's gay.
Yeah.
And then we had Will and Grace, where there was, like, hey, look, this is the gay guy you're used to, but look at this gay guy. He's super normal. And so that, and then now there's gay characters where you don't even know they're gay. They don't really talk about it. Maybe they'll say, like, oh, that's my boyfriend, or oh, she's my girlfriend, but it's not a big thing.
And it was the same with like, black actors
long it'll be before eventually it's like you just, or because it's not so apparent, maybe they'll never be able to have a character that's atheist where it doesn't become a thing that has to be opposed or discussed or made the focal linchpin. I don't know.
So there's not episode after episode or plot point after plot point.
Yeah.
Well, the atheist, oh, look at that gawky atheist.
Or, what about this atheist? How do you prove that? Well, you got me this time, atheist, but we'll try again next week.
on the other hand, it's great that there are out atheist characters all over the place.
And they're not villains. Really, a lot of times they're protagonists, like we just discussed.
So yeah, they're not just serial killers.
Yeah. All right, Pat, are you ready? 4 or 5 questions?
I am.
Yes, all right. So, question number one is, what is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
I haven't seen too many movies because I'm far more of a TV person, but the best movie, or at least my favorite movie I've seen, is a movie called Easy A.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's fun funny. Movie.
That was great.
It's a really good movie where
Emma Stone.
And
it's well written.
It's a well written teenage getting into trouble, growing up in high school, and it's not outside the norm. I mean, outside the possibility. Scarlet Letter takeoff. I mean, I love a lot of the movies that take classics and update them.
Yeah. Yes. Ten Things I Hate About You is Taming of the Shrew, and it's fantastic.
Clueless.
Is Emma. Yep.
Absolutely.
So I like that, especially if it's done well. It can be done really badly.
But of course.
All Shakespeare can be done really badly.
Well, yeah.
Even on stage, Shakespeare's words.
If the story is strong enough and it has good enough themes, it'll be entertaining to every
audience. I like The Lion
King. You can adapt that. Right. Hamlet. Yes, exactly. So our second question is, who is your favorite atheist character?
My favorite atheist character is Winston the Atheist Pig.
Oh, from the cartoon. The Atheist Pig. I love that.
I don't know what this is.
I've seen this.
His name is Winston. He's the Atheist Pig. And it's a comic that's either 1, 2, 3, 4 panels. And usually it's just him saying atheist and political things. I've got a couple of them pulled up because I'm that kind of nerd. And one is just, he's breaking the fourth wall. And it's the description of the Bible, which is, hello, many people have never read the Bible, and who can blame them? But it's considered an important book, so I like to give you the short version, which will give you all you need to know. A long, long time ago, an all-knowing man in the sky made some people who he knew were going to piss him off, and when they did, he punished them. And he sent them off to make more people who he knew would eventually piss him off again. When they did, he damn near killed all of them. Eventually, the all-knowing man in the sky got fed up with people doing things he knew were going to piss him off, so he takes his son, nails him to a cross, and says, "See, look what you made me do. You should be ashamed of yourselves." Last panel is, that's it. The rest is pretty much filler.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'll see what you made
me do. Who draws that? Or who writes that? Or both?
Honestly.
You know who makes it? But you can find it at theatheistpig.com.
Atheistpig.com.
Absolutely. That
I know what I'm doing at work tomorrow.
We'll link to that in the show notes because it is. Atheist Pig's pretty fucking
That's
fun.
Great. Yeah.
And, yeah, the character's name is Winston, and it is a truly awesome, awesome character.
He kind of looks like Brian Griffin. A little bit.
He looks like Brian Griffin and Cerberus had a baby.
We need to find a way to get whoever does this webcomic as a guest on our show.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And he also, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, some pretty good political things he does. Like, you know, he's doing one that's basically a Fox News with Geraldo Rivera.
It reminds me of, not Doonesbury, the Burke Breeds.
Well,
Bloom County. It reminds me out of Bloom County.
Yeah. It's kind of a Bloom County.
The eyes on the pig are
He's Opusy.
Yeah.
Yes, very much so. But the last one I'm bringing up because I went through and I had to choose these.
Yeah.
As opposed to Geraldo, this is Fernaldo for Fox News here. FUX News here. At the Heathen Rally, sir, can you tell us, our viewers, what you hope to accomplish here today? And then Winston says, well, my hope is that people will realize it's okay to question their religious beliefs, and maybe upon doing so, they'll see there's no good evidence to support the idea of gods or the supernatural. I think we can all agree that a little skepticism and critical thinking will make for a better society. Sip of water? And then it cuts to Geraldo back at the channel and with the other news anchor and says, as you can see from the interview, Sean, these atheists are arrogant bunch of filled with hate and rage. And the anchor is like, I noticed at the end he actually tried to drown you. Disgusting.
Awesome.
That's the kind of stuff Winston does, and he is by far, and I've been listening to every episode of Geeks Without God and just hoping nobody gets to it first, because he's mine.
Man, like Opus, because it's especially Bloom County, like, calling him Geraldo Rivera at Fox News. They had, instead of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, they had whatever her name was. It was like Tina something in the Blackheads.
Guy was Hunter S. Thompson. No, that was Doonesbury. I'm thinking about Doonesbury.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, it was great. That's great.
It's a very, very subtle political but atheist.
Okay, question number three. What's your geekiest hobby?
My geekiest hobby is history. Mm. Specifically either English or American, specifically Civil War.
Oh, okay.
And Tim and I both have many documentaries that we have got a huge selection of them, and I don't know, a couple feet worth of books on the Civil War. And one of the things I like doing is, you know, like watching documentaries on it, but I also like watching shows about it, and then I can sit there and go, that's wrong. That's wrong. Actually, no, that must be a combination of these three actual people.
Oh, that's great.
The Ken Burns Civil War documentary series, which is it's seven discs. It's like 12 episodes. It's over 9 hours, and we've both watched it multiple times.
Oh wow!
Probably close to 10 times.
Wow! It was like geeky
when we went to Gettysburg when we were out in Washington D.C., which was amazing. And we hired a guide to take us through mm-hmm. the battlefield. He asked us what we knew before we started. And when he asks that, what he usually gets is people who saw the movie Gettysburg.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe they watch Glory.
Which isn't even Gettysburg.
I know. Anyway, that's the joke.
And Pat and I basically like, well, we know this, and we know this, and we know this. We'd be really interested in seeing this spot, and this spot, and this spot. And he's like, oh, you actually know about the battle. He's like, oh, that's a totally different tour.
He's like, oh, shit, I wish I didn't just smoke that joint.
No, he was thrilled.
That's awesome.
He was like, I get to get them the tour that I don't get to get all these other
people. He's like, my history major, it finally matters.
Yeah. What, man, that's great.
No, he was really super awesome. You... can, if you ever make it to Civil War battlefields or actually any battlefield that you can pay for a guide, absolutely do it. It is so worth it, because otherwise you're like, you know, look at little placard, and on here the so-and-so died, without understanding anything. So we got to, he's like, okay, now here's where this happened, and points over there, and we're looking like, wow, that was really dumb. Yes, that was really dumb. Well, okay, like, I get it now.
All the hills and all of that is still there. I mean, like, it's still geographically the same. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yes. At the Civil War battlefields, you will hire somebody, they will drive you around. So they're licensed to be able to drive your car. And it's not bad. It's like $40 for 2 hours. And he or she will take you to every spot in the battlefield and say, all right, now here, look over there. So like Pickett's Charge in Gettysburg, he'll say, all right, now let's stand here. Here's the Union line. Now look, that's where Pickett's Charge starts. And you're like, holy fuck, they were just walking across the field to die. And he's like, exactly.
Yep, yep.
You know?
And now that scene in Gone with the Wind makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Where they are just like laid out for fucking miles and miles on Terra, just like all the dead bodies and the wounded.
Do you have any like musket balls or anything like that? Like any Civil War memorabilia?
Actually, I am not a memorabilia person.
Okay. You don't want to own a piece of history?
I am fine with documentaries and such, or like a refrigerator magnet that will to collect for things, which is another geeky collection we have. We collect.
Your fridge is covered.
Can't own history, man.
But no, actually, I don't have a desire to own like that, or like, you know, own original signed copies.
Is it
of
because
books.
It belongs in a museum?
Wait, what do you mean? I don't understand. No, I think also part of it might be my completest thing of then I might want to.
So
I don't want to. You've got your own like museum. Uniform and
once you start down that dark path, you dominate your destiny.
And then you're a recreationist, and it's all over.
No, it's just I. It's an intellectual thing. I don't need junk. As a matter of fact,
the knowledge is what you're collecting.
Yes. I don't need to collect tchotchkes that will sit in a drawer that I will eventually need to throw away.
I'll
feel bad about it because I'll want to throw it away. But that musket was pulled out of that tree. Darn it!
Yeah.
What can I do with it besides pitch it?
Right. All right, question four. What is your favorite sandwich? And please be specific, because I am hungry.
Okay. I'm not much of a sandwich eater, which... Okay, I don't prefer cold sandwiches at all.
Sure.
I will eat them, but they're meh.
All right, so give me a hot sandwich.
Okay,
like.
Hot sandwich. I've been thinking about this for quite some time. It will be start with a crusty roll, and then a fresh pot roast sandwich. With caramelized onions, and then a little bit of, say, mozzarella cheese melted over it to hold it together.
Yeah.
But the pot roast has to be nice and gooey, like with a little gravy dripping out the edges.
Sure.
Like which is why you
like
need...
It's like 12 hours in the crock pot, like it's falling apart. Yeah.
Otherwise, why bother?
Yeah, right.
And with good gravy on it, and it has to be a crusty roll, otherwise it'll fall to pieces with just bread.
No structural integrity without the crust.
Precisely.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah,
I would. I would do horseradish as well, because I like horseradish, but that sounds, God, I'm hungry.
You say horseradish, I say no gravy but mustard.
Because
mustard on pot roast is delicious.
Well,
Someday
maybe I'll make pot roast.
That'd be amazing.
Come over.
That'd be amazing. All right, question five.
Question five. What's the stupidest comment you've received about your atheism?
I don't have too many conversations with, you know, the evil fundy peoples. But
she leaves those to me.
No, that's not entirely true.
Not entirely true, it's true.
No, actually, one of the biggest problems we have with that is that whenever Tim gets, like, in an online thing, and I want to be involved, I feel a really difficult time because I'll feel like I'm defending him or something ass thing. As opposed to, I'm my own person, I don't agree with him on all things, but man, this idiot who's just challenging him, like, I just want to ask questions.
Yeah.
But I think the worst thing I've ever heard, and when it took me a while to think about this, was, I'll pray for you. Because it's the really nice way of saying, fuck you.
Yeah, it is.
It's the nicest way of saying, you are an idiot, I'm washing my hands of you.
It's so smug.
It's smug, you're not worth my time anymore.
Yeah. I'm not going to help you, but I will pray for you.
Or, I'm literally going to put forth the least amount of effort possible.
Or
that's what I'll pray for you means.
Yeah, or it's, I will pray for you, it seems to be the catch-all idiocy of... I will, the least amount of effort, but it's the, you know, I don't want to go out and do something for you because merely by praying will solve these problems.
Well, and like it's also like, you know, like you need my God's help because you are a lost soul, kind of a thing too.
But I know it, you only have one, but the close second is God doesn't give you more than you can handle, which I want to bop people in the nose who say that. You know, it's the whole, my dad died and at my funeral I really didn't need to fucking hear that.
Yeah, no shit.
And all you really want to do is say, really? So the people, you know, the children who are raped by priests, because it's the
one,
those kids can handle it, but evidently these other kids can't.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
So it's complimenting those kids because they're way stronger than the other kids that couldn't handle getting raped.
Until, of course, 5 years later when they can't handle it, hang themselves in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'll pray for you. Just it's usually used when they've run out of useful arguments.
Yeah, it's true. I the funeral thing bugs me too because I mean the first person that says to me, like, if Nick dies and I or my mom or anyone is like, oh well, he's in a better place, or like, or she's, you know, at least she's at, you know, she's somewhere better now or whatever, is gonna get, no she's not, she's fucking dead. I don't care who it is. If I'm at a funeral, that's what I'm going to say. No, she's not. She's fucking dead. If you have something nice to say to me that's real, go ahead and say it. But, like, that's not real. Don't say that's, I don't, if you want to say she was a great person and she loved you a lot and she had a good life, I'm all for that. But don't fucking tell me she's with Jesus now to make me feel better. You that's just going to enrage me. She's not in pain me.
Anymore. That's okay.
She, at least she's at peace now. Yep. Sure, she is at peace because she's fucking dead. True so, fact, like, that's.
Right. Yeah. Or another thing on that same thing is the, you know, the can only handle. It's the, or if you bring up the, hey, well, you know, this person was abducted, raped, and murdered.
Yeah.
So could they handle it for those last minutes? Like, well, at least they're now with God. And that's the best thing ever. Yeah. And all I really want to do is say, then why don't you kill yourself? If the best thing ever.
That's
is
why that, there's that rule.
Well, right. That's okay, fine. So that's why there's that rule. Then why aren't you going out.
Killing each other.
Well, that's why there's that rule.
Or, putting yourself in dangerous situations.
No, I know, but that's the thing.
Walking down the side of the road with waving $100 bills.
Yeah.
You know, if you're really racist, go to Harlem and do the same thing if you're white.
Exactly.
Is that a danger seeker? Yeah, be a danger seeker. Because then God's, you're not.
Well, if you're knowingly doing it, then you're lying to God and it's suicide by cop or whatever.
God's such a prick.
Yeah. God is.
Thank you.
Christian God.
Yes. Well, pretty much all of them are. Thank you so much, Pat. I finally got to have you on. It's fantastic. Yeah. Thanks for being married to Tim. And
somebody had to do it.
Yeah. Damn it, you speak
it. If no one had to, really.
He beat you? Tim.
Well, that's another story.
So, yes,
that's when we get to the sex episode.
So,
anyway.
we've been Geeks Without God. If you want to come see me and Nick and Tim at our next show, we will be having a show this Friday. This Saturday, the 29th. The Traveling Road Show. It's our variety show, and it's going to be awesome. There's going to be music. There's going to be hilarious, fun sketch. It's not the usual vilification tennis. So, if you are wanting to come see something different, come do it.
But we will probably make dick jokes.
We'll be at the Bryant Lake Bowl. I guarantee at least two dick jokes. And other than that, if you want to answer our 5 questions, send your answers to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bone call. Something about a bone.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter @GeeksWithoutGod.
Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Well, he took all the high fives.
I did. I took your high fives and ran now.